Well, I've already been greeted this morning, but I'll say it again. Good morning, church. It is great to be with you, and it's great that for those of you that are streaming us live right now, I probably need not have to remind you that we are here to celebrate our God. And we are celebrating who He is and what He's done. And one of the things that He has done is sent His Son to die for in our place on the cross. And as this first song says, my sin has been nailed to that cross because I have accepted His free gift of salvation. And those of you that have, the same thing has happened with you. Would you stand and join us on this first song? When I stand accused by my regrets, devil roars as empty threats. I will preach the gospel to myself that I am not a man condemned, for Jesus Christ is my defense. Praise God. My sin is nailed to the cross. My soul is healed by the scars. The weight of guilt I bear no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When my doubt and shame hang over me, like the arrows of the enemy, I will run again to Calvary, that rugged hill of hell's defeat, my fortress and my victory. My sin is nailed to the cross. My soul is healed by the scars. The weight of guilt I bear no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship Him with holy hands and raise the song that never ends of Jesus Christ, my righteousness. My sin is nailed to the cross. My soul is healed by the scars. The weight of guilt I bear no more. Amen. of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. I pray that's true, God. We live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show. Every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Put my trust in you alone.
many of us, God, needed to hear that. We're not going to put our trust in other men or women, in government. We're going to put our trust in you. And when we do that, we will not be shaken. Your love, your promises are the firm foundation on which we can build our lives. Thank you so much for that. And thank you that we can gather together and assure each other that we do believe the same thing, that we will not be shaken. There are others, brothers and sisters, that will not be shaken because they are relying on the Creator and the one that showed his love by sending his Son. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, for honoring us with your presence. We love you very much. Thank you for loving us first. I lift this up and pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated.
Greetings, everybody. This is going to be good. I get to preach today, first time in 3 months, and I am excited. It's good. Can I just tell you, it's no fun preaching to nobody. I mean, it's just preaching to a camera. It was a great thing. We were able to do it, but I'm so grateful that we're able to do this. Got a bunch of announcements, okay, so you got to stick with me. It's back to church time, and here's the hard part. For some of you, it's not, because you're not at a place where you can come and be healthy. So you got to know your own life. You got to, and I'm talking to the people that are at home, if it's not good for you to be here, if it's unwise for you to be here, then don't be here. It's do the right and safe thing. But for those that are out already, and here's my thing, there's a lot of people that are out already, but they're not here. And so I want to encourage those folks to start coming back and start doing it wisely. So here's all that's going on. Starting next week, which is June 21st, we will have a limited children's ministry that will begin. Ages 3 up to completed third grade. We're going to start off with a playground time at 11 o'clock. And then beginning July 11th, we're going to go back into having limited offerings for children's ministry during the 11 o'clock hour. And there's going to be more info for that to happen or coming up soon. Student ministry will begin on-campus groups June 24th for the middle school and June 28th for the high school. The nursery school, Grosse Pointe Nursery School, will begin preschool camp with limited spots on July 6th. You need to contact the office about that. Tomorrow night, men's Bible study, we're going to have it here. We're going to be outside, weather permitting, and we're also going to do the Zoom thing. So if you're not able to make it, you can jump on with Zoom. Celebrate Recovery will be on campus Friday night at 7 o'clock. We also are starting to do the demolition and the remodeling of the apartment at the end of the month. If you are interested in helping with that, please contact Tim Aldridge. This week, the prayer meeting, the 6:30 prayer meeting, is going to be on Zoom. Last week, we were literally starting at 6:31. The storm hit. I went downstairs to see if the basement was flooding, and power went out. And so I couldn't ask everybody, how do you want to handle that? So we're going to do one more week at least of Zoom prayer meeting, and then we might do a combination. And then this is the last week that you're going to have to sign up to register to come to service. So you can show up and here's part of it. If you have been hanging out with another person, and let's say there's two of you in a row, and you've been hanging out with, you know, another person over here, the three of you can technically get together because you've already been you've been together. So we just want to try to maximize the space and yet get as many people in as we can. And then coming up the end of this month, on the 28th, we have our business meeting. we'll be electing to the leadership board Tom Horam, Ed Cantrell, to the moderator and the music positions, and then Jay Jambikar to go back onto the Council of Elders. So there's a lot of announcements. We're going to be putting this out on social media, but I want us to pray together. So let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you that you're the God of the universe, and I just continue to pray that you would be working in our lives. I thank you that we are able to gather to worship. I pray for those that are able to safely and wisely come back, and they're not in a high risk. I pray that you would make a way that, especially for young families, that they've been watching kids, and that we would be able to help and transition them back into worship. So we would pray that you would give us wisdom as we go forward. Lord, you know every need in our hearts. You obviously know the needs that are in this world. We pray for our governing authorities, from our local mayor all the way up to the president, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and guide and direct them, that we would be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in this world. And so we thank you. We thank you for your provision. We thank you that people are giving online, and there's even a box here, Lord, just to know that you have given us everything. So we give you glory, we give you thanks, and we praise you for this chance to worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When the we're going to sing some hymns. And I just wonder what the hymn writers were experiencing during their time when they wrote these. They all have to do with the Bible. These writers seem to have a handle on the fact that they needed at their particular time to rely on God, to rely on his promises, and to rely on his character. Well, those were all communicated to them through the scripture and through the Bible. So they relied on the Bible a lot. They had a sense that it was that firm foundation that they needed for their life. So we're going to remind ourselves right now through their hymns about how important the Bible is for the life of a believer. Would you stand and join us on these songs? Now, this next song, I've come to find out that maybe not a lot of people know this, but it has a powerful message in terms of what the Bible points to, and that firm foundation that it points to, that being of Jesus, the living word. It goes like this: break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. Some of you do know this. As thou did break the loaves beside the sea,
sacred page. I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word.
Oh, send thy spirit.
Oh, send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.
Sing beautiful words again.
Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Sing standing again.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on promises of God. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled.
Amen. You may be seated.
So this board is on the way over to my son's house. And it's a board that when the kids were little, we had a doorway that we would mark off. Okay, you're now this height, and you're now this height, and you're now this height. And little by little, they grew, and the tallest mark on this board is me. I got a short family. And now it's going down, I think, a little bit. But having said all that, this is a beautiful thing. Someone transferred this onto a board. Now it's going over to my sons. They're going to, with their grandbabies, transfer their stuff. And then they'll be able to see the growth. And you know what happens? What do you think happens when there's no growth? That's not good. If it would have been a time where the boys hadn't grown in a year, what do you think we would have done? We would have taken them to the doctor long before. And so in reality, growth is natural. It is normal. It is something that we should do and expect. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. We need to be growing. We need to be growing. And the way that we grow is through the Word. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to look at a passage that deals with that. We are in this series in 1 Peter, which is talking about having a consistent faith in difficult times, and we have to have that. We need to have that consistent faith. What are you going to find your strength in what's going on in the news? That you just don't have it. So let me invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word, and I think we're going to bring up the house lights just a skosh so you can, although we might not need to with your tablets, but I have put the passage on the screen. And I'm going to read it for us. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray together. Lord, we have tasted that you are good. And I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises. I thank you for the truth of your word by which we can live and we have hope. And it is an anchor for our soul. And so as we go through this passage, Lord, speak to us and do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So he starts off as we jump right into this. He says, so put away. And the so is kind of like a therefore. It points back to what we have just looked at in the previous section, which is all of God's grace to us. The reality that back in 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born again, not to perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. And it is something that we know is true. And because of that new life, because our sins are forgiven, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because he has taken our sins and has removed them as far as the east is from the west, and we have come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because of that, what do? Well, there's a call here, and it's right up front. It's the call to lay aside those things which hinder us in desiring and receiving God's word. There are things that will hinder that, will hinder you, that will not make you want to spend time with Jesus. They'll not make you want to spend time in his word. These are sins that maybe are part of our old life that will, when they get entangled in us, they're just not good for us. And the scripture tells us to cast them away. Now, I was thinking about this and saying, okay, how can I get you to get that? Because I could say all day, you know what? There's some things you got to get rid of in your life. And you're going to go like, yeah. But let me give you a little illustration. I don't know about you, not a huge fan of porta potties. Just not. I have a fear. Maybe it's because I have four older brothers and they were mean and they would do this. I have a fear that one day I'm going to go in, I'm going to lock the door to do my business, and someone is going to tip that over. I just do. Wouldn't be my wife. She's nice. But I wouldn't put it past any of you. You'd probably do it to me. But there is a real story. This happened in the news. There's a picture of it where the police are pulling a guy out of the porta potty. And I see the picture here, but we don't see it up there. But that's okay. I guess that's how it rolled. Oh, there it is right there. So could you imagine how nasty would that be? I mean, it just would be nasty. I don't want to get into the details. It's just nasty. Now, they tip it over. These fine policemen, they get that thing upright. That guy comes out. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to say, great, let's go out to eat. No. The first thing that any one of you would do is you would start ripping off the clothes. You would be running to wash yourself. You would get that filth and that scum off of you as quick as you can. And the scripture tells us to do the same thing. In Romans chapter 10 and chapter 13, verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're to cast things off and not play with them. And so in this passage, he gives us five things that we're to cast away. And this is not a full list. There are many lists of things that we need to get rid of, but he's just going to give us five in this one, and we're going to go through them. So first of all, he says to all malice, let's go back one, all malice refers to wickedness. He says, get rid of all malice, cast it off. Malice is the idea of general wickedness. In the English dictionary, it speaks to the desire to hurt somebody, but this is the idea that is an all-inclusive thing of evil that we're just to get rid of. It's kind of a general term. It describes our lives before Jesus of the things that were bad and wicked and wrong, and in once the way we once were. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's what we all were before Jesus. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And my life before Jesus is represented in that list. But the next verse goes on to say this, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We were once that way, but now we're not. And so we cast those away. We cast away all malice. And then he goes on to say, all deceit. All deceit refers to deliberate dishonesty and lying. And I read an article this week that 96% of Americans think it's okay to lie and tell little lies, big lies. I mean, this is not really news, but it is true. People lie all the time. Does it not drive you crazy? So our power was out. And I know this isn't really a lie. It's just they couldn't get it. But DTE said, it'll be back 11 o'clock tonight. It'll be back 11 o'clock tomorrow night. It'll be back the next night. You know, and so that was like, okay, they couldn't get to that one. But then there are people who deliberately lie. And you know it. It's like, okay, if someone says they're going to do something and they don't do it, or you ask them a question that you already know the answer to, and then you know they're lying, and they're shading the truth. And really, it's an easy thing to fall into. You'll see little kids lie because that's just what they do, because they don't want to be in trouble. And yet, when we come to Jesus, when we have crossed over from death into life, we're born anew, we are called to live a different life. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, therefore, put away, again, the whole concept of putting away, put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbors. We are members with one another. We as believers should be known as people who speak the truth. We don't play on the edges of truth. Our word is our honor, and we should speak it, and it should be crystal clear. And when we have misspoke, we need to go around and we need to make things right when that happens. So he says, all malice, all deceit. And then he moves on to hypocrisy. Hypocrisy refers to spiritual insincerity and pretense. And the original Greek word is identified as those who wore a mask, who were actors. And they were just playing the game. And Jesus gave one of his harshest condemnations to the religious leaders who were hypocritical. He said to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, he says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They were hypocrites. They were playing the game. One of the scariest things in church world is for people to just play the game. You know, and this is not what the Lord's called us to. He's called us to put it all away and to not be like that. Nobody likes hypocrites. Nobody does. Like, we may be a hypocrite, but we don't like to see hypocrisy in other people. And so, for us, we are called to put it away. The next one he says is envy. Envy refers to an attitude of those who resent others' success. And it can often lead to grudges and bitterness and hatred. But envy is contrary to love. Instead of desiring the best for others, we kind of hope for their downfall. And we sometimes wish we had what they had. And we are envious of that. It's very interesting. Even Pilate, when Jesus was being led to be crucified and they were having the trial, he knew. It says in Matthew chapter 28 or 27 verse 18, for he knew it was out of envy. This is Pilate speaking. It was out of envy that he was delivered up, that Jesus was delivered up. They didn't really care. They envied his ability. They envied who he was, and then they did that. And then the last one, he says, a slander. Put away all slander. All slander refers not only to spreading false stories about others, but also involves belittling the value or importance of others. And this is one that I think is difficult because we live in this world of slander. You can't turn on the television and watch the news. You cannot go on social media without seeing people slander each other. It happens all the time. It is the new national pastime, and it's scary. And I see believers get involved in this. And I would just say, brothers and sisters, that is not the way we should live our lives. There's things that you disagree with. I get it. I do too on this and that. But we are not to be people who slander. And the scripture says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And so we are to be people who, it's so easy. I'm telling you, that whole slander thing, I'm at like 5.5 weeks not watching the news, and it's glorious. Because people have to tell me the news. Because there's so much stuff that's out there that's just not a good thing. So he gives us this list, and he tells us to put these things away. And why? Why are we to put these things away? Because it hinders the word. But then he goes on to say this in verse 2, that believers need God's truth like babies need milk. That's what the scripture says in verse 2. It says, like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk so that by it they may grow up into their salvation. You ever see a baby attack a bottle or mother's milk? It's amazing. we were watching the king, the little one, Keegan, and he's eating some regular food, but we gave him a bottle. And that boy hammered that thing in a matter of 30 seconds. He just whopped that thing down. And and that's what we are called to be like. We're to take in the word. In the King James and in the New International Version, it talks about the pure milk of the word, which people, that word is not, the word is not in the text, but it's brought up from the context back in chapter 1 and verse 23, where we are saved by the word. And so the concept here is like a baby hungers for milk, so you and I are to hunger for God's word. It's a very simple metaphor that he is giving us. It's something that we're called to do. We're to take in the milk of the word all the time. His word, like a baby does milk. Now, don't confuse this. A lot of people say, well, he's not using this to refer to immature believers like Paul did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul addressed the Corinthians, and he said this. He says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready." And so what Paul was talking about is, just like a baby has milk and doesn't stay on milk, this group had. And so it's a different illustration. Peter's point here is that we as believers are to desire the word. That's the whole point. Like a baby does milk. And can I just say this? It scares me as a pastor when I see people who could care less about God's word. It's just the hardest thing in the world. No different than if you were a mother or a grandparent, or even if you had a pet, a baby dog or cat, and it's not eating, you would be concerned. And there's times where I look around, it's like, folks, we need to desire the word, because it is the word of God is the only thing that is going to help you understand what's going on in this crazy world and to deal with what's going on. And so I want us to see the importance of God's word. I'm going to have Ed come forward, and he and I are going to read a bunch of verses on why we should crave the word of God. We just take it in. So I got a new shower head in my shower. It's a great big square thing, and I took the little restrictor plate out of it, and the water just blasts on my back. And I'll turn that puppy up on hot, and I'll just sit in the shower and let the water just pour over my body. And we kind of want to do that with what God's word says about God's word. So I've put together 22 passages that Ed and I are going to take turns reading. And I just want you to take it in. The notes are in your notes, and you'll be able to go back home and look at those. But I just want to read these so you can see the importance and the whole point of why we need to be in God's word. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
"So shall my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it."
"For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart."
"Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth."
"Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth."
"All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work."
"Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success.
So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of God will stand forever.
I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock.
Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain.
And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers.
And now, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God.
Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts.
Amen. What a great, and there's more. There's more. Just the importance of the word of God, that your word was found and I ate it. And I want every one of us to have an appetite for the things of God. This world spends billions of dollars trying to deceive you, trying to get you to buy its stuff and buy its worldview. And it's out there and it is devastating and it's not good. You know, God's word will see you through good times and bad times. It will see you through. It will be the strength for your life. It will be a map for your life. It is the very words of God that he speaks to us. He has given us his holy word, which is for all time. We just don't come into the year 2020 and say, yeah, we're going to throw out your word because we have a better way of thinking. Are you kidding me? The world's messed up because it doesn't follow the word of God. People don't know how to treat people as they should because they don't follow the word of God. You know, the answer to the world's problems is found in God's word and in the one who has given us his word. And so I want us to be a people who desire it, who take it in. And it's a battle. You are going to have to battle against the things that want to pull you away. And they're many. They are many. There's so many distractions. My wife and I were talking. Do you realize that this world is never perfect? I mean, it's never perfect. Like, you can say, I'm going to do this. Even if, let's say you're going to fix your house up. I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And for a brief moment, you might go, ah, and then something will happen. And it might be your health. Might be something else with the house. Might be something with your job. Might be something with your neighbor. Might be something in the world. There's always something. This world is not perfect. The Lord gives us glimpses of things. But the reality is found in His Word, and that the reality that I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind can imagine what God's prepared for those that love Him. Which leads me to the last point. And it's this, if you could put it up there. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Have you tasted? It says in verse 3, he says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And Peter wanted his readers to contemplate whether they had in fact experienced the kindness of the Lord. And yet he was confident that that answer would be yes, they had. And yet I say to all of us, do we love His Word? And what I want to do is I want to cultivate a desire for all of us. And I know most of you, many of you are taking in the Word all the time. But there's some of you that you're dehydrated. You're not taking in the Word as much as you should or could. And so we ask the question. I put this up here, this last slide, or the second to last one. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Now, here's what I want you to do. Assignment time. Pull out your cameras. Seriously, right now. Everyone, pull out your camera. Take a picture of this. All right? Right now. Because I want to give you an assignment, and I want you to put it in your pictures, and I want you to go home. I don't see some of you grabbing your phones. Don't make me come down there and grab your phone. But here's why I want you to do this. Because I want you. It's kind of like this. When a young couple, I think I've shared this before, when a young couple comes in and I'll say, why do you want to get married? What do you love about her? And I ask that question, and you'd be amazed how many times the guy struggles for an answer. And I think part of it is I have shocked them with that question. And the lady's hearing this, and she's like, okay, I know what I'm going to say. So she's got that advantage. So if I said to you, have you tasted that the Lord is good? What I want you to do is take that picture, go home, remind yourself next time you're looking at that, and then just take 5 minutes. I did it this morning, and write down why the Lord is good. And what you're going to find is it's really great when you start to really think about the Lord's goodness to you. And if you can't do 5 minutes, if you can't do 1 minute, I'm telling you right now, the world has pulled you away to make you think that other things are better, and they're not. He is good. He is great. My final slide, D.L. Moody said this, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. I heard that as a young man, and it's so true. It's so true. When there are things that are not right in my life, I don't long for the Word of God. I don't want to run to the Word of God. But when I'm confessing and I'm in the Word, what He says is true. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. I want us to be a people who call Crosspoint home, but are more importantly in love with the Word of God, not this world, because this world will not satisfy you. It just doesn't. And we know that, but I speak to all of us to say, don't think that it will. Don't think if I said, if I just had this, then things would be good. No, when you have the Lord, you have all you need. His Word was found, and we eat it, and it's the joy and rejoicing of our heart. I want to pray for you right now, and then we're going to sing one more song. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. I thank you that your word is life. In all of those scriptures that we read, Lord, I thank you just for the truth of your word. I pray for the person who is in your word all the time. Encourage their hearts, Lord. Keep them on that path. I pray for those who know deep down that they're dehydrated. They're not taking in the word as they should. Lord, give them wisdom to make time to even listen to the word. Help them find time. Help them to take care of the minutes in their lives, in their busy lives, by spending time with you and have you order their steps. And Lord, for those who might not have a desire at all, I pray for them, Lord, that they would understand who you are and that they would maybe come to know you, that you are the true and great and awesome God. So we give you glory and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice, for you have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I have known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing
of the goodness of God.
So sing of the goodness of God all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Whether you realize it or not, all your life, he has been faithful. He has been so, so good. And so let's rejoice in that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss the people in the back. And here's what I encourage you. It's a beautiful day out there. When you leave, hang a left, go out there, and get out there and socially distance and have some fellowship. Lord, thank you. You have been so, so good to us. And you have given us your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and makes sense of our own brokenness and your rescue and what is going on in this world. And Lord, this world needs you and your word. So I pray that we, as we live out your word, would let our light shine for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Dismissed from the back, we'll see you outside.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness.